have. Now, you wonder how we get these great guests, and this next guest is unbelievable. Let me just give you, I'm just going to give you a little tease, a little taste of what Vahan Zanoyan, I know I got the last one wrong, but Vahan Zanoyan, Vahan Zanoyan. I'll get it by the end of the interview. Now, this gentleman has been quoted frequently in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and he testified in Congress. He's the author of A Place Far Away, The Doves of Ohanavank, and his newest book, which is a really intense, I think it's a... It's a novel. It's called The Sacred Sands. And now he talks about foreign policy and about the oil industry. And how does he know how to write about that? Well, maybe it's his 35 years of experience as an international energy consultant. And this gentleman has a list of credits and accolades. He's a global expert, a global energy expert. He's a writer, a traveler, and he's an anti-trafficking advocate. And I got to ask him about that, too, because he wrote a book about that. So this guy is just so interesting, and I can't wait to get him on the phone and talk to him. So we're going to talk to Vahan in one second, but right now I have to play the station ID, and we'll be right back, and then we'll get to meet Mr. Vahan. So... with no further ado, guys, just give me 1 second, the station ID here.
My name is Casey Armstrong, and I am the CEO and I am the voice of WMAP Radio, which stands for The World's Most Amazing People. When we started this station, the whole idea was we're trying to inspire you with stories of everyone else. Look, everybody has a story. There's something special about everybody. I don't care who you are. When I see your
face. All right, guys. WMAP, the world's most amazing people, and I happen to have one on the line right now, guys. I told you a little bit about Vahan and the new book, The Sacred Sands, and I just can't wait to talk to him. So, guys, with no further ado, it's my honor and it's my privilege to welcome to the program Mr. Vahan Zanoyan. Vahan, how are you today?
Great, Casey. Thank you so much. And very happy. Thank you for having me on the program.
Oh, I'm very excited for you to do the program. But I hope I didn't butcher your last name. Am I close?
Actually, it's simple. Three syllables. Za, no, yan.
Za, no, yan. Za, no, yan. All right. Yeah. I got it.
Thank you.
Watch me forget in 5 minutes. Anyway, Vahan. So you're so many things. And let's just take the audience back here. Now, you have 35 years as an experience an international energy consultant. This couldn't have been the first job out of college. Why don't you take me way back and tell me how your career progressed?
Well, I was studying at the American University in Beirut, but then I came to University of Pennsylvania, where I studied economics. And there, we had a very interesting little consulting operation called Wharton Econometric Forecasting Associates. Now, I joined Wharton Econometric Forecasting Associates, and there we used to build these complicated econometric models where we forecasted macroeconomies of countries.
Hmm.
There I was in charge of building models and forecasting economic trends in the Middle East, in Iran, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, which are all oil-producing countries.
Mm-hmm.
So before I knew it, I was spending a lot more time on understanding the energy market because that drove those economies and still does to this day, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I kind of got into the energy consulting business. And then I moved, joined another small consulting firm where I became a partner called PFC Energy. We were based in Washington, D.C., and we used to advise some of the world's largest producers, both countries and companies. And that's where that career, it kind of took me around all over the planet Earth, visiting clients, advising them on various crude oil trends, all the trends. Also advising them, by the way, on a lot of the geopolitical changes that were affecting the oil market.
Mm-hmm. It seems like you've been all over the place, and you have so many experiences here. But just for my audience here, because I know this is kind of where the research and the information and the experiences came for the Sacred Sands, was your time as an international energy consultant. Now, would you mind telling me and the audience exactly what that is, an international energy consultant?
You know, it's actually a fascinating field, especially the book, the novel, where I fictionalized a lot of the actual events, by the way.
Okay, so it is fiction. Okay, good.
The book is fiction. It's a novel, but based on actual events that take place actually in the 80s. I chose the 80s because those were the most fascinating, turbulent times. Those of you who are old enough remember, that's when the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait happened. That's when we launched Desert Storm during Bush 1, and we liberated Kuwait. And that's where later there were a couple of more Gulf Wars, which didn't necessarily end up as successful as the first one. But there was a very ripe period of in a lot of acrimony within OPEC, a lot of tension in the global geopolitical scene between the Middle East Gulf countries, between Russia and the Gulf countries, between China and Russia, and also between the United States and Europe. At that time, I was based in Washington, but I was traveling to these countries, and I was in the middle. I like to say I was in the belly of the beast. I was advising both the U.S. government, the Defense Department, and Energy Department, even some of the Intelligence Committee.
Wow.
About what's going on in the Middle East. But we were also advisors in a geopolitical sense to some of the largest oil-producing governments around the world. And, of course, the big corporations. So being in the middle of that traffic gives someone a kind of insight of some stuff that's going on, which is not always readily available in the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
So the beauty about writing fiction, Casey, is that you can bring out the truth, believe it or not, better in fiction than by just reporting facts. Because I distinguish between facts and the truth.
Hmm.
I used to write a lot of nonfiction in my professional days when I was actually doing this. By nonfiction, in this case, I mean speeches, articles, big fat reports, small reports that went to the clients. A lot of them were facts. But the only place where you actually began to bring out what does all this mean was the analysis. Okay, they could read the facts in the papers, but they couldn't read what this means to them.
I see.
Now, in terms of the more general public, the truth comes out when you present those facts in the context of a specific story. And that's the beauty of writing fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in many ways, I call it fiction, but it's maybe 80, 90% based on real facts.
Mm-hmm.
The way I like to fictionalize things is by combining different characters into one. Let's say I knew three different oil traders, and each behaved differently in certain cases and so on, but I combine it into one character, which per se, the character I've invented, didn't exist as I describe him, but every component of him existed and did the things I'm saying he did at different times.
Now, in this book, The Sacred Sands, the main character is James Blackburn. Can you describe him a little bit?
Well, James Blackburn also is he's the famous successful consultant based in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Handsome, dashing, smart. Yeah, okay.
Okay, I got you. I followed you.
But also, even there, I have combined a couple of my colleagues and partners and mashed them with me to create this character. Because, you know, it's by the way, I did the same with the novels in about sex trafficking in a place far away. I ran into...
Yeah, but that came from an actual meeting that you had with someone, right?
Ex- Exactly. I, a chance meeting with this incredible 16-year-old, drop-dead gorgeous girl in Dubai. I happened to be there on business in Dubai. I ran into her. Anyway, that's a very long story. But
I gotta have you. I gotta have you back on to tell the more of these stories, because you're a guy that has so many experiences. I mean, to sit down at a bar with you or something like that must be like amazing. Somebody should put a tape recorder on you and just ask you questions for an hour. But let me ask you something. You've done all these things. You've got to the top. You've got to these positions where you're in such demand and people trust you. What do you attribute that to? Do you attribute to your parents? Did they teach you determination and hard work? Were your parents hard workers?
My parents were very hard workers. I mean, I devote this novel, The Sacred Sands, to them, actually.
Oh, good.
The push for excellence was constant in our house in everything. But also, it came from school. My high school, in small little high school in Lebanon, Armenian Evangelical College, it had a lot to do with this drive for excellence. It's a matter of pride.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that we weren't born to do just one thing in this world and then pass on.
Well, you definitely prove that, because you've done about 5,000.
Yeah, man is really, honestly, every human being is very multidimensional. And it's, I think, to come, do one thing, even if extremely well, do that one thing super well, and then pass on, we're missing something. I think life is too rich, too diverse, and it's worth experiencing and doing everything. We are capable of doing everything that we put our minds to doing very well.
Mm-hmm. Now was A Place Far Away, was that your first book?
That was my first novel, yes. And before that, I had published two volumes of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been on my third or fourth volume of poetry by now if I hadn't ran into this girl. But Casey, let me tell you something. It's one thing to hear about sex trafficking in the news, to see it on TV and say, oh, yeah, too bad this happened. It's an entirely different thing to meet someone who's been through that gruesome world.
Oh, my God.
And to hear her story from her own lips and to look her in the eye and see the pain and see the frustration. That became such a shock to me, such an obsession, that I couldn't just drop it. I couldn't sleep for months, and I had to do something. And to me, the best thing to do was raise awareness, essentially. That's why I wrote the book, and create some noise. And actually, it did have that impact to some extent.
And do you still keep in touch with her?
When I went back to Dubai after 4 or 5 months, I looked all over for her. I couldn't find her.
Oh, man.
So either they move her. Their captors are ruthless, by the way. They moved. They don't let these girls to stay in the same place too long, because they make friends. They create contacts. They don't like that. They want them to be always isolated, alone, and just working. And they also scare them. It's a long story. You're right. That will be another.
Yeah, right. I got you.
Another show, but it's mm-hmm. an amazing world. The biggest shocker is that you realize all of a sudden, all this time, as we're going through life, our normal life, you know, there's this almost parallel universe where this thing is happening. Even as we speak right now, you and I are speaking, someone is being kidnapped. Just the realization of this is so shocking.
Yes, it is.
You simply cannot forget it.
It's very disturbing, but definitely I do want to bring awareness, and I do want to have you back to talk about that, because that's another interview. But I want to talk a little bit right now just about The Sacred Sands.
Yeah.
I was asking you about A Place Far Away that you wrote in 2013, and I knew that you wrote poetry beforehand. Now, when you were writing those books of poetry, and when you're writing The Sacred Sands, do you still have the same passion now that you did when you just first started writing those books of poetry?
Oh, yeah. I still get my hands dirty once in a while with a poem here and there.
Okay.
But the novel writing, storytelling, is also extremely addictive.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a born storyteller, maybe. That's why I like writing novels as much as poetry. But
mm-hmm.
And this last one, The Sacred Sands, is so relevant today. Everything that's happening today in in the recent events in the oil market, there were several OPEC meetings recently, which almost identical to the ones I described back in 1980s, by the way, which I used to attend. And the chaos in the Middle East, the rise of ISIS, the almost devastation in Iraq, Syria, and so on, all that, the precursors of these, are described in detail in this the Sacred Sands. So in that sense, you know, one thing I did, even though this is a novel based in the 80s, I added a prologue, an epilogue at the very end, which takes place in spring of 2016. And this James Blackburn, the consultant, looks back on the events and starts making the analogy and the trends, and also wonders if all of the current mess in the Middle East could have been avoided had certain policies back then taken a different turn.
Wow.
So it throws a bridge to the present day by going first back to those days.
Mm-hmm. This sounds so interesting, and I'm so sorry. I was only supposed to keep you for 10 minutes, but we went about 20 minutes. But I got to get you back on. Guys, you got to get this book, The Sacred Sands. It's a novel by Vahan Zanoyan, and you can get this at Vahan's website. Now, I'm going to spell it for you. Everybody write this down. It's ZANOYANUAHAN.com. And that's Vahan's website right there. And I'm sure you can get it at Barnes.
Oh, it's V-A, by the way. V-A-H-A.
V-A-H-A. Yeah, I thought I said. Okay.
By the way, it's also available on Amazon.
There you go. You can go to Amazon.com look up The Sacred Sands. And Vahan, I know I kept you over, but I want to get you back. But before I let you go, I have to ask you one question. Now, here you are. You're a guy that has so many experiences, and you're so successful. You've accomplished so much. You have a list of awards and credits. It's just incredible. Now, there's a lot of younger people that are listening to the program and would love to walk in your footsteps of being so successful, being so tremendous in their career, excelling. Maybe not in the same field that you excelled in, but in anything, in any field that they choose. What type of advice would you give to younger people just starting out?
Oh, boy. Regardless, the actual field has nothing to do with it, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the biggest secret ingredient in this is to have the passion for what you do.
Mm.
To have the love and passion for what you do. Because if something doesn't just absolutely excite you, you're not going to be good at it.
Mm.
You may work very hard, you may go places, but it's not going to be this trajectory that takes you. Whatever you do should be able to just grab you and take you away.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone has something like that. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to look deep enough and find it.
That's terrific advice, and especially from somebody as like yourself. In so many different areas have you taken that attitude and excelled. So you definitely are one of the world's most amazing people. And thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Casey.
And I hope to speak with you soon. And everybody pick up The Sacred Sands. Thank you so much, Vahan. And what a great job. Thanks, Vahan.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Okay. That's Vahan Zanoyan. And what an interesting guy. Oh, I got a... should I take a call? Should we try this? All right, I'll take the call. WMAP, you're on the air. Okay. Very. That was a very good point. They bring a terrific point, but well, guys, we got a lot of guests coming up, and my thanks to Vahan.